I direct your attention tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I had the privilege and the honor of officiating at the homegoing service today of Mrs. Betty Mitchell. And many of you know Mrs. Mitchell for a long time, was the editor for those ladies that were reading the Monday Morning Manna. She was one of the key people that was helping that to be sent out. And with her homegoing, again, it was an opportunity to seek to honor the Lord. And I shared with the congregation there this afternoon a text from Ecclesiastes 7. And I want to do just a quick review of that and then add another verse to it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the writer states, "A good name is better than a good ointment, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth." Now, it's certainly an interesting thought that the day of one's death could be better than the day of one's birth. And we might wonder how in the world that could be. Because in the world we live in, we certainly celebrate birthdays more than funerals, right? Birthdays are balloons and candles and cake and presents and fun. And funerals are not things we enjoy at all. In fact, I've known people that never go to funerals. They simply refuse to go because they're simply too upsetting for them. So the world tends to think that a birthday is definitely better than a funeral, but that's not what verse 1 in Ecclesiastes 7 says. It says the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. How can that be? Well, no doubt there's probably many different ways, but if I just simply think of a race, it's how one finishes that really counts, right? Many people go through life maybe never putting faith in Christ. Other people go through life making professions of faith, seeming to start the race, but for whatever reason turn back. You say, how do you know if a person has truly persevered in the faith? You'll know it on the day of his death. Because death brings a certain finality to one's Christian testimony. When one comes to the place of departing this world, still firmly grounded in Christ, confident in the faith, then that's a wonderful thing. Because that person has persevered in the faith. That person is what we would call an evident believer. Now, some might think, so you think you could lose your salvation? Not at all. But those who are truly saved will persevere. It's difficult to know who those are as we go through life. But then as verse 1 says, we come to the day of one's death, and then it's known. Because the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. So that first verse in Ecclesiastes 7 is what I shared at the funeral this afternoon. And I was thinking much about these other related verses and how these relate to a prayer meeting. So I began to think about the question, when people go through bereavement, when people say goodbye to loved ones, how do you pray? What should we pray for when somebody is impacted by the death of a loved one, by bereavement, and may have to attend a funeral or such things? Well, there's no doubt many different ways to pray. We certainly want to pray for comfort if people know Christ. But what a great opportunity to pray for the advance of the gospel during funerals. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 2, please, of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 2 states, it is better to go to a house of mourning, that would be a funeral, than to a house of feasting, that would be a party, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. So verse 2 says, if we have the option, it would be better to go to a funeral than a party. You say, why? Well, there's a number of reasons why. I'd like to hit on maybe just two of them here. If you look at verse 2, notice what he says. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. There's something about going to a funeral that reminds us of our own mortality. You know, most of us, especially when we're younger, we just kind of skip through life thinking we're going to live forever. And yet the Bible clearly says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. We've all heard the saying going something like this: there are not many things certain in this world, but one of them is death. Apart from Christ coming back, all of us are going to die. And we tend not to think about that. We tend to think about what? Growing up. We tend to think about the next step, whether that's the new job or the next academic degree, or maybe if you're younger, it's getting married, or if you're married, having children, or perhaps older, maybe having grandchildren, or, you know, what exciting things are going to happen when you retire. But there's something that is more certain than any of those things, and that's death. It says in Psalm 144, verse 4, a man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. We're like a breath, just a whoosh, and we're gone. You say, how long can we expect to live? Psalm 90, verse 10 is for the days of our life. They contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Which is very similar to what James wrote when he said, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, it was interesting as we were at the funeral home the last 2 days, and it's very common, as I think many of us know, funeral homes are typically in very old houses that are very, very nice and big. And we were near the downtown Greer area at the funeral home where the service was held for Mrs. Mitchell. And there's a couple of really old but very large houses there. And I was talking to Nancy as we walked in. I said, you know, it would be fun to go back in the early 1900s. I assume that's when they would be built. And to have seen this street when these houses were brand new, when people of great means lived there and were no doubt waited on by servants or perhaps even slaves. And yet all of those people have all died and they're all gone. And the houses are not what they used to be. And that's something that all of us face, regardless of what we have in this life. The Bible says there is a time where we will face death. And that's good for us to think about. Funerals remind us of that. I think that's what verse 2 is saying here. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. Why? Because that is the end of every man. Funerals remind us of our mortality. But there's a second reason why it's good. Look at the very end of verse 2. And the living takes it to heart. You say, what does that mean? As we are reminded of the fact that we too will die, it brings a certain spiritual sobriety to us. It makes us think, hopefully, at least a little more deeply about life. The psalmist said it in this way in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Frequently, we don't take our own mortality to heart. You say, well, what does the writer of Ecclesiastes go on to say? Let's go just a little bit farther in the text and we'll go more quickly. Notice verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter. For when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. There's something that we can learn in sorrow that we simply cannot learn in happiness. And so as we face times of loss, it's good. Again, it brings a certain spiritual sobriety. And thus again, notice the thought repeated in verse 4. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. Foolish people always thinking about what's fun. What's the next party? What's the next really, really enjoyable thing to do? Wise people thinking about the fact that only one life will soon be passed and only what's done for Christ will last. Now, you might ask, and I've thought about this, is it that people that are wise tend to think about the house of mourning, or is it that thinking about the house of mourning tends one to be wise, causes one to be wise? I don't know the answer. There's a correlation. Which way is the cause? I simply don't know. But if wise people find their minds in the house of mourning, well, that's certainly where we want our minds to be. And thus, verse 5, it is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. As if going to a funeral is a wise man who rebukes me. And the author here says it's better to hear that than to listen to the songs of fools. You say, why? Well, verse 6 will help us with that, and that'll be the last verse we look at this evening. For as the crackling of thorn bushes under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool, and this too is futility. If one is trying to cook something in a pot, maybe over in a camping trip or something like that, you could take thorn bushes and they would flare up quick and they would make bright light and they would go snap, crackle, pop. And then they would die. And there's no significant heat. And it's gone like a flash in the pan. And that, according to Ecclesiastes, is like the laughter of the fool, who's always busy laughing about things that maybe in the big picture really don't matter, and never has the time to think deeply as the wise man does, whose mind is in the house of mourning, realizing that sorrow is better than laughter as he contemplates the briefness of this life. Because it's better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. That is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. Every funeral I go to, I'm reminded of the fact that there's only a little bit of time left for me, and then someone will be preaching my funeral service, as Christ would not come back first. And we all might say, well, Greg, that might not be as quick as you thought. You know what? The graveyards are filled with people who thought that same thing, if I could say it that way. Many of them went through life foolishly, not really thinking about how brief this life is. So to bring this to a prayer meeting conclusion, how should we pray for people that are facing bereavement? How should we pray for people that are going to be going to funerals? How can you pray, even when you just hear of people passing from this life? I always pray for the gospel. I pray for the spread of the gospel. There is something about going to a funeral that just has a grip on people. It just hits them. And it may be that on every other day of the year, they're watching thorn bushes just snap, crackle, pop. And their mind's in the house of the feasting rather than the house of the mourning. But maybe by God's grace, that one day, the Spirit does a work of grace in the heart as that person is humbled and sobered. And by God's grace, that's the challenge this evening. How do we pray for people in times of bereavement? We always must pray for the spread of the gospel. From a human standpoint, I think people are more open to the gospel in times of bereavement than at any other time. I fully acknowledge that God is able to save anyone, anytime. He's not limited. And yet, from a human standpoint, there are great gospel opportunities during times of bereavement. And so the next time you hear of someone passing, the next time you hear of a funeral, I trust that perhaps God would bring this simple text of Ecclesiastes 7:2 to mind, and that you would join me in praying for the spread of the gospel as people are sobered about their own short, brief life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the scriptures are so helpful and clear to us. Lord, we confess that we often go through life on autopilot. We just kind of skip right on through day after day, so caught up with the many things that we need to be concerned about. And Lord, we frequently forget how brief this life really is. Lord, we forget that our own death is much sooner than most of us would realize. And Father, we pray that you would help us ourselves to be sobered. And Lord, that our minds would be in the house of mourning as we contemplate how brief our own lives are. And then we pray, Lord, as people around us would continue to pass on, and we have the opportunity to pray that you would help us to pray, that we would pray for the spread of the gospel, that we would pray that as people would allow their minds to go to the house of mourning, that they would take to heart how mortal they truly are, that they would realize how great their need of a Savior truly is, and that they would come to find eternal life in your wonderful Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name tonight we pray. Amen.